Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, I would not either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and,
this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dory Shafrir.
And I'm Kate Spencer.
And we're not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and thoughts, and we attempt to answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please do remember, we are not experts. We are just podcast hosts. And we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
And if you do want to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And if you're looking for some other things to listen to, may we recommend our daily podcast, Here For You, and our Forever 35 produced podcast, She Thanks Just Spot It, hosted by the always delightful Caroline Moss.
Indeed.
Dory.
Yes, Kate.
My hands are a little bit moist right now because I just put on my hand cream. And so I feel like it's only appropriate to kick this mini episode off with some hand cream recommendations.
Great. I'm on board. Okay.
So our first listener writes, I love the pod and wanted to share some of my faves as I am obsessed with hand creams. I generally love them to be thick and feel hydrating, but not greasy.
That's the holy grail, right?
Right?
Thick and hydrating, yeah. But not greasy.
I feel like I could make a terrible joke about things that are thick and hydrating, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry, I don't know why I went there. My top fave is the Trader Joe's Ultra Moisturizing Hand Cream. They often release seasonal scents, which are nice, like ginger or rose. It's only $5. I have multiple tubes at one time, bedside, nail care kit, purse, and work, and usually have multiple backups. I also enjoy the packaging, as it is easy to squeeze each bit out. I have also enjoyed the Burt's Bees Ultimate Care Hand Cream. Great cream available lots of places, about $13 a tube. Love the Gold Bond Hand Cream as another option that is easier to find and lower price point. And for a more spa-scented hand cream, I opt for Aveda or L'Occitane. I never know how to say this. L'Occitane? Dory, I'm going to keep going. L'Occitane. How the fruit do you say this? How do you say this? L'Occitane.
I think it's something like that.
Like one of the 10 options I just gave? Mm-hmm. I have never been able to say that brand in my life.
Me neither. I feel like anytime I say it correctly, it's like a crapshoot.
Yeah, it's like a
miracle. I think it's L'Occitane, but I could be totally off.
Also, I'm pretty sure that's like one way I did not say it. L'Occitane?
I think that's what it is, but I'm sure listeners will be quick to correct us.
Please let us know, okay? I don't know. And I know I could go on YouTube and Google a video of how to pronounce it, but sometimes it's fun to be in the dark and just wing it. Okay. And then, of course, this listener ends their email, butt masks never, 35 forever. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. Great Rex. I mean, I am holding the Gold Bomb Ultimate Healing Hand Cream in my hand, and that is what my hands have on right now.
Ooh, nice. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, this is a real plethora of options here.
You can't go wrong with Trader Joe's.
No, that's true. That is very true.
Period. End statement. Period. Okay. This next email is a recommendation I had not heard of. Had you, Dory?
No, I had not.
This listener writes, just listened to the most recent episode and thought I'd send a quick recommendation for a hand cream. My mom discovered this product through a friend and has now gotten me addicted. Let me introduce you to Wool Wax. I think I remember one of you talking about lanolin before your chapped lips. This is a lanolin-based product, but for your hands. It has been an absolute lifesaver during this time, and we now have them scattered around the house. Dory style. Dory style. Plus, during this time, I think it's fantastic to support family businesses and farms, and this company is owned by a cattle sheep ranching family in eastern Montana. And we will link to the company website and a couple places to buy it because this listener very thoughtfully provided us with those things. Thank you, listener.
Thank you so much.
Wool Wax.
Wool Wax.
Wool Wax. Okay.
All right. Okay. Shall I read this next email?
Yes, please.
Okay. Hi, Kate and Dory. I just finished my master's degree last week, which was bittersweet as it is such an accomplishment. Yes, congratulations. But the dream job I had lined up afterwards was canceled, and being a master's student, I seem to have slipped through the cracks in the minds of both my schools and the government's financial bursaries, as well as the world in general. I've moved back home for the time being, and I'm trying to find temporary work here. My financial stress from living at home again, and stress from the world is higher than it's ever been. Because of this, I'm experiencing worse than usual flare-ups in my psoriasis. Psoriasis and other skin conditions like eczema are so awful to deal with on a normal basis, and I'm sure I'm not the only one experiencing flare-ups during this stressful time. I wanted to share some tips specifically for scalp psoriasis or scalp eczema that have really helped me in case others are feeling it too. These include drinking celery juice in the morning, washing your hair every day, using natural shampoo and no conditioner, or conditioner only on the ends of your hair, avoiding oils on your scalp, and the best serum of all time, the Odigibic Root Activating Scalp Serum made with 100% natural ingredients. Odigibic is a scalp facial salon in Toronto. Oh, no. I've been going to for the past 12 months and I've never needed anything more. While it is a bit of a splurge, the cost is well worth it considering I've tried everything out there, even prescription shampoo and medications, and this is what has given me the most long-term improvement. I know there's some other scalp facial salons in the United States who perform similar treatments, but I highly recommend ordering the serum to help with scalp-related flare-ups and support a small business. P.S. Scalp facials are for anyone and could be a good indulgence when this is all over. Thank you so much for being part of my routine last year. I truly feel comforted knowing I have you both to lean on. My dream is Forever 35 to grow so the whole world can benefit and I can work for you. Lol.
Okay, I have so many things to respond to in this.
I do too. Go ahead.
Email. Okay, well, my first one is celery juice.
Celery juice, never.
I'm so sorry. Listener, first of all, I love that this worked for you. And if celery juice cured my own ailments, I think I would have to make myself drink it. But I have such an aversion to celery that just the mere mention of celery juice sends me under the bed hiding. But I appreciate this as a recommendation, and I am not not in any way poo-pooing your suggestion here. Two, I didn't even know scalp facials were a thing.
I did not either.
And also, are they a facial if they're not on your face?
They're a scalpel.
Yeah, wouldn't that be like a scalpshul?
Scalpshul.
Anyway, had you never heard of scalp facials either?
I had never heard of scalp facials, but I will tell you, in a very funny coincidence, last night I was Googling how to get rid of pimples on your hairline, which then led me to some articles about folliculitis, which I'd never heard of, but which is like, it's basically like pimples that you get from an a hair, which, you know, I've had issues with, and I've had pimples on my scalp. And I was like, ow. I think I have folliculitis. And one of the things they said about folliculitis is that if it is partially caused by oil buildup in your hair, if you don't wash your hair enough. And I was like, oh my God, these last couple of years, I've been trying to train my hair to not wash it as much. And perhaps a byproduct of that has been that I've developed this acne problem on my head.
Wow, this is a journey I didn't know we were going to go on in this episode.
I know.
So then do you think some of this listener's suggestions might, like, washing your hair every day, using natural yes. shampoo and no conditioner, which I thought was interesting.
Well, she did say only on the ends.
Right, right. And avoiding oils on your scalp. Which is what I do anyway.
Yes. I'm wondering if I should go back to washing my hair every day.
Well, what if you went every other day just to kind of see if that made a small difference and then
yeah,
took it to every day?
Yeah.
Now, here's a question. Are you going to get a serum for your head?
I don't know.
I've never even thought about a serum for my head. And I love that this exists. I love that this listener found it and suggested it. I love that this is a scalp salon in Toronto. A scalp salon. A scalp facial salon. I think you need a scalp facial when we are able to, like, be out in public again.
I agree. So last night in my Googling, I found an article in Allure called Everything You Need to Know About Scalp Acne. And I was like, whoa, okay. this is what I've needed. And I didn't even know that it was like a real thing. And one of the things that someone recommended, a shampoo called, I guess it's pronounced Clean. It's CLN. And it's for scalps prone to folliculitis, dermatitis, dandruff, and itchy and flaky scalp. And I'm thinking about getting it. It's called Healthy Scalp Shampoo.
I love that after 2+ years of doing this podcast, we can still discover something new.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't new to other people, but it's new to us. Scalp issues.
Scalp issues.
Can you buy this shampoo and report back? I feel like this would make a great full-length topic episode.
Yeah, I will buy it and I will report back. Challenge maybe accepted.
Maybe this listener can weigh in on that episode as well. Listener,
great. I look forward to that.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued, and I really appreciated all this information. even the celery juice part. Dory, do you want to read this last email here?
I would love to. Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm a bit behind on the podcast, so I only just listened to your mini episode where you discussed products you wish you'd started using sooner. Your conversation about wearing sunscreen on your hands reminded me of a recent discovery. For whatever reason, I've always squeezed product out of the tube onto the top of my right hand. I'm left-handed. And then dabbed it onto my face a little at a time with my fingertips. Afterwards, I would just rub the leftover product into the skin on my hand. After doing this with my Retin-A and sunscreen for almost a year, I noticed that my right hand looked so much better than my left, like a lot, lot better. So I've taken to applying a small amount of Retin-A and sunscreen to the tops of both hands. When I mentioned this to my dermatologist, she said that she always recommends squeezing products onto the top of your hand instead of your palm so that you don't waste any product. It'll go to work on the tops of your hands too. So there you have it. Something I wish I'd known ages ago. Hopefully my left hand will be looking as good as the right one soon. Take care, Anna. Again. Should we all get Retin-A for our hands?
I mean, you learn something new every day. We're supposed to be serum-ing our hands. I mean, not supposed to, but we could be if we wanted.
Totally. Totally.
I love this. I love this idea. Because I do smear my sunscreen after, like, if I have a little bit left, I smear it on my hands.
Same.
But I like the idea of, like, doing my whole skincare routine on my hands.
Totally.
Well, we've learned a lot here today so far.
We truly, truly have.
Let's take a pause.
Okay.
And we'll be back with more.
All right. Sounds good.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. Mm-hmm. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like, fashion, I feel like, is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, but I would not possible. Either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and,
this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
So I thought this email was really interesting, and I wanted to get your take, Dory.
Okay.
So here we go. Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm the 32-year-old stay-at-home mom of a very active, very social 1-year-old baby girl. We're currently in self-isolation, and I can't say I totally hate it being the homebody, antisocial person I tend to be. Since I quit my job to stay home about 9 months ago, at the advice of many people, I sought out and joined a mommy and me group that only lasted 2 visits. I decided on the excuse that my then 6-month-old was too young for the other kids who were already walking age. The truth is, I do not like interacting with other moms, women, or people. My current friends consist of people I used to work with. No more work, no more friends. And honestly, I feel fine about that. I stay in touch with those friends, text every once in a while, and we go to each other's kids' birthday parties, even though I do live far from these women, about 25 miles away. Now that my daughter has been walking for a couple months, I started to think maybe watching the random kids at the park wasn't going to cut it anymore as a social activity. My friends with kids who are slightly older than mine are still working, so I've never really had playdates with them due to our schedules being so different. Anyway, I need help. Maybe ideas on having my child spend time with other children that won't put a lot of pressure on me having to interact with the moms. I just feel like my child is at a crucial age for socializing, and the current situation is already setting us back even further. Basically, I'm just scared that I turn my child into me socially. As fellow moms, I really appreciate any advice you can send my way.
Very interesting dilemma.
Yeah, I thought this was really interesting. You know, first of all, I just want to say, like, I think your social desires or lack, like not wanting to connect or not feeling comfortable connecting are totally normal and sound like it's fine with you. So, one, if you were feeling bad about that, I want to encourage you not to. I can't quite tell, but it sounds like you are like kind of comfortable, like you know who you are and you're a person who's like sounds like they don't need a lot of social interaction. But how do you give your kids social interaction without having it yourself?
So I have a couple of ideas, and these are all post-pandemic ideas.
That's a good point here, because most of the stuff we can't socially interact right
no
now.
No one is socially interacting right now. So your child is not falling behind. No one is interacting. So it's fine. But if you do want your child interacting with other children, one place to go might be like a My Gym or a Gymboree type place. If you have those in your town or city, you can sign them up for classes. I believe My Gym also has like an open gym kind of thing where you can just, it's basically like an indoor play space and you can just sort of sit back and let the kids kind of play with each other. Indoor play spaces are another place where you can take your kid and they can interact with other kids. Music classes are another option, especially like at this age, you're still kind of mostly interacting with them. You're not like, you know, I didn't find that I interacted that much with the other parents in music class. Those are the ones that I think your child would get the most interaction with other children in. I think like a mommy and me yoga thing isn't really going to get them interacting with other kids so much. Yeah, those are my suggestions.
Yeah, I mean, another, again, I don't know what your financial situation is, if this is even feasible, but, you know, a preschool twice a week when they're a little bit older, you know, like, yeah. however many, my kids were in full-time daycare and full-time preschool because my husband and I both worked full-time. And so they were always around other kids. But I think that can be a thing that you begin to do as they get older. They also, a lot of times preschools will have like an afternoon parent and me group for a couple hours a day that you could do. I know my preschool offered something like that for kids that were under two. But I also just wanted to say, like, your kid is going to be who they are socially no matter who you are. I'm very extroverted, and I have, one of my kids is really introverted, and I've had to like talk to my therapist about me understanding it because it's so different from how I am socially, and it's just who she is. And so I think who you are is great, and that's who you are, and your kid is going to navigate their own path socially as they get older. And also, like, sometimes when we have kids, we feel like we have to like do all this stuff for them when they're like very little, and like eventually your child will probably be going to school and will be in lots of different social situations that are totally age appropriate. So go easy on yourself.
Yeah. I think that's really good advice.
All right. Here's another one.
Do you want me to read this?
I do.
Okay. Hi, Kate and Dory. I love your podcast. So you two are the perfect companions when I'm cooking on a Sunday afternoon. I have a question about how to extricate oneself from a friend group that you've been a part of for almost a decade. I enjoy and find a couple of the friendships rewarding, but some of the others have been toxic. One member in particular is full of negativity, makes a hobby of gossiping about other members of our smallish community, and makes very insensitive comments on the regular. I've had a couple of these hurled at me of late, and I'm at a point in my life where I don't feel the need to surround myself with others I don't value or find much in common with. The other members of the group make excuses for her because she completely spurns people if they cross her. Others have said they hesitate to speak up because of this. She's a bad apple that has spoiled a once fun group. My question is, how do I gracefully exit the group without making a fuss? Do I turn down invites with more frequency and hope they get the hint? Do I stand up to the bully? And how do I maintain the relationships with those I do want to keep without it being the elephant in the room when we get together solo?
I've never navigated this, so my advice might be bad. I feel like the easiest way to navigate this is by being as honest as possible. Am I bonkers here, Dory?
So the only thing that gives me pause about that is that she says she's in a smallish community.
Yeah, that's true.
And that people are scared of this woman. And I just worry that, like, she's going to be, like, shunned or something. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, my read of this is that honesty is not going to get her far in this.
Okay.
In this situation. Like, it's not going to register with... This woman seems so narcissistic and possibly, like, I don't know, just not a good person, that, like, being honest with her isn't probably isn't going to do anything. I don't know. Is that crazy?
I don't know if I was suggesting necessarily like confronting this, the main toxic person.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think it's more like, how do you exit this group without making a fuss? I mean, just turn down invites. Yes.
I think turn down invites. I think, you know, you've just been so busy with insert excuse here. I mean, fortunately right now, given the global pandemic, there's not much socializing happening.
Yes. Unless you're like Zooming every night or whatnot.
Right.
And I think you can also say, you know what, like there's the energy in the group is kind of negative and I need some space. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
It's not like, how do you maintain relationships with those I do want to keep without it being in the elephant in the room when we get together solo? In that situation, I feel like you can be like, hey, you know what? Karen has done, I'm sorry to give her the name Karen. I realize that's your sister's name. I'll call her Kate, since this way I can take all the blame. Kate. Wait, no, this isn't going to work either. All right, let's try this way. That person has...
The bully
has said some really inappropriate things to me, or has made me feel really small, or is, I don't want to spend time. It doesn't make me feel good to spend time around them. So that's it. Like, that's not, I don't know. Like, I don't think that makes the elephant, like, once you confront what the elephant, talk about what the elephant in the room is, it takes away the power of the situation, I think.
Yeah.
Again, I could be way wrong here. And would I have the courage to do that so casually? I don't know. Oh, this is hard.
This is really hard. Do you have other friends in the community? Like, if I just worry that, like,
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
These other, if she stops being friends with the bully, that the other women are going to be too, and things go south with the bully too much, that the other women are going to be like scared to hang out with her. It sounds very high school.
It does. And I hate when this kind of stuff happens, especially in adulthood. And it does. I've been in situations like this. That's why I feel like what I have found is that just being honest about how I'm feeling has worked out the best for me. And if that means that these friendships dissolve, then that is the consequence, unfortunately. But I would say, like, you need to do what you can to kind of like protect yourself here. And so, yes, you can just turn down the invites and move on.
Yeah.
That stinks, though.
That does stink. I'm sorry you're dealing with this.
All right. We've got a hot hydration tip, Dory.
Yes, we do.
Hey, gals. Love everything you're doing right now. Thank you so much for providing me with so much content. It helps me so much get through these long days with my six-year-old. Anyways, I wanted to share kind of a here for you, but based off the mini episode, hot tip for my, hydration. Every day I kind of have a ritual with a 32-ounce mason jar, and I brew up, some hot water and put two bags of either hibiscus tea in or chamomile and peppermint. Sometimes I make a combo, get really exciting. You know, tea is awesome. And so then I put some honey in because, you know, that helps with allergies. And I just wait till it gets like lukewarm, and then it's so delicious. And I managed to get at least one of those down a day. So figure that's half the battle, and it's nice to make tea and go through that process and have something daily like that. So anyways, I wanted to share that has been hydrating me and has been a little joy for me, because we really have to focus on the real small things right now, the minute scale is kind of where I'm at. Anyways, thanks. Bye.
Love a hydration tip.
I love this tip. I've never thought about making a tea, cooling it to lukewarm, and then chugging it. I mean, chugging it throughout the day. But this is great.
Yes. Thank you for this tip.
Tea, totally, like herbal tea is water. That counts towards your hydration.
Yeah, fully.
Get in there.
Get in there.
All right, Dory, let's take another break.
Let's do it.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right, we've got another relationship quandary.
Mm-hmm.
This time with a sister-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
This listener writes, I have a problem with my sister-in-law. We are very, very different and have not been super close. We are friendly enough, but I do not have interest in becoming her best friend. She has had a tough year. She is currently pregnant, due next week, but in the meantime, she had a cancer scare and her father passed away. She has now stopped talking to me because she feels I have not checked in with her enough during the global pandemic. I will admit, I did not specifically text her when this first started. I will say I have responded to all texts related to the baby excitedly, and I have been very supportive on Facebook posts, etc. I have offered to take her to a doctor's appointment when she was having trouble getting there. I have two young kids of my own, age 3 and 4, and I am navigating this whole situation myself. I am fortunate to be able to work from home at this time, but I do not have childcare, as many do not, so that has been challenging. Once I found out that she was mad, I started texting her to check in often, and I've apologized. She has ignored everything. Now she is about to have a baby, my nephew, and she is ignoring me. I am scared she is going to keep this up once the baby is born, and I won't be able to, quote, meet him over Zoom. Any advice? This is killing me and taking up a ton of brain space at a time when many people are suffering much more. What can I do here? My brother is talking to me, but seems to be mostly taking her side and doing whatever she wants. I don't want to be her best friend, and I think that should be okay. What should I do?
This should just be called the narcissist episode.
Yeah. Yikes. Rooney.
Ugh. People like this drive me crazy.
This makes me, when you then do the thing they wanted you to do, and then they don't respond, is so manipulative, and it just makes me bonkers. Like, I think if this was a healthy relationship, that this person would have expressed the disappointment.
Yep.
You did I think, right? You apologized and then you tried to step it up. And then they would have been like, hey, thanks for that. I really appreciate that you did the thing I asked and it means a lot to me.
And then they would have been like, and I, you know, I know you have two kids, you have two small kids at home and you're trying to work and like that must be really hard. But no, this person is not going to do that because they are a narcissist.
Yeah. I mean, this person is upset with you because you didn't check in with her enough during the global pandemic. Well, like, everybody is going through a different thing here, but we're all also experiencing this larger thing that is really hard and traumatic.
Also, can I just say...
What? Yes,
people
you can.
People like this, they have this, like, they have this expectation of you that they never articulate, and then they get mad when you don't fulfill it.
But also, like, how obtuse to assume that someone else should be checking with you more during the quote global pandemic when like that person also needs checking in on. Like we all
of course. I mean, but that's not what this person is thinking.
No, oh, I know. Well, this person
this infuriates me.
Yeah. You know, I think I wouldn't invest any more time in those.
That is kind of where I'm going to. I think you send a really nice gift when the baby is born and a heartfelt card and say, like, I can't wait to meet the nephew. And you keep talking to your brother, but like this woman feels kind of toxic to me. And like, I know that she's technically family and that sucks, but ooh, I think the more you sort of try to cater to her, the more she's going to kind of see that she has this power over you.
Yeah. And I'm sorry that your brother is not seeing you, what you're going through, but that seems par for the course when partnered with someone like this.
Yeah.
They tend to enable the other person. Again, like, look, we're not psychoanalysts here, but we are two people who have dealt with these kinds of people in our lives.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really sorry. I mean, I think, again, like, this is a situation where you unfortunately do have to set some boundaries for your own self-preservation.
Yes.
And, you know, this is not to take away from the hard year that this person had. Like, having a cancer scare is terrifying and losing a parent is awful. Like, but it sounds like you have seen all that and been supportive during those things. So I think, I don't know. Protect yourself, listener.
Yeah, I'm sorry you're going through this.
Yeah, me too. And if anyone has thoughts, please, by all means, you know where to reach us.
Yes.
All right, Dory, we had a quick mini episode update from a listener. And I should preface this by saying that this is the second voicemail this listener left, which is why they sound like they're picking up kind of in the middle of something, because they'd called about something else prior to sending this.
Right. Okay. Here we go.
Hey, Kate and Dory. Okay, one more thing. I've called you guys probably a handful of times with various weird insights. But also, you guys gave me beautiful advice about supporting one of my friends who was and is in like a pretty deep grief after we lost a close friend suddenly. Anyways, so I just wanted to give you guys a brief update, which is that obviously I haven't been able to make plans to visit her yet, although that is in works whenever we're allowed to travel again. But in the meantime, she adopted a really wonderful puppy. and I sent her a deck of tarot cards. And those two things it's been really fun to have a friend who's in like the honeymoon phase of like adopting a sweet, sweet dog. And so instead of us just stressing about quarantine together, we talk about things like puppies and tarot cards, and it's been really nice. Y'all don't need to play this. Like, I don't think anyone's that invested in that phone call from February, but I just wanted to give you guys an update. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, no, we did need to play that.
Yeah, we are invested. I knew exactly what the call that this listener or email that this listener was referring to, like, immediately. The friend group lost a friend, and this one person was feeling it really intensely, and you wanted to support your... I know exactly what this is about. So thank you for the update. I'm happy to hear that your friend has been having some kind of positive light in her life or his life lately.
Also, puppies and tarot cards.
Puppies and tarot cards. Is that the name of this episode?
Yes.
Yes, puppies and tarot cards. thank you for that update, listener. That was really, really great to hear. All right, we've got one more voicemail. This is response to another listener who had asked how to better ask for help.
Hi, Kat and Dora. This is Gwyneth in London. And I was just listening to mini episode 102, where the listener wrote in and mentioned that they were reluctant to ask for help. And I definitely relate to that. I don't know if I have the most helpful advice, but I thought I would share something that occurred to me a few years ago. So I think it was when I was moving, maybe like 10 years ago, and I didn't want to ask for help. So I put it off. I procrastinated. And then when I couldn't put it off any longer, I asked my boyfriend at the time and my dad and maybe one other friend. And moving is always terrible, but I think that this was worse because I procrastinated and maybe because I didn't ask more people. I think that it made me realize that I was kind of placing undue burden on the few people who I was least uncomfortable asking for help from, because I would always just turn to the same people in these situations when I, you know, really couldn't get away with not asking for help. And then also procrastinating and putting it off because I didn't want to ask for help. So I don't know if that's applicable in the listener's case, and I know that it's pretty guilt trippy, so maybe not the most helpful, but I think it has made me more aware of like how this personal tendency affects the people around me. So I figured I'd share. But anyway, I love the pod, all the pods, and personally, I don't think you need a special sign-off. Bye.
Well, thank you for saying we don't need a special sign-off. What a self-aware observation.
I know. I was like, whoa, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, asking for help is... It goes way deeper than just the act of like, I need help, I gotta ask somebody. Like, it really reveals a lot about ourselves, I think.
Yes, I agree.
Well, we've come to the end, Dory, but we don't need a sign-off, according to Gwyneth in London, so...
No, we don't. Thank you, Gwyneth in London.
But I do still kind of want to say butt masks never, 35 forever, because that is my personal truth.
All right. Well, butt masks never, 35 forever.
No sign-off needed. Thanks for listening.
Bye.